Now, for those of you who've missed the first 10 parts of this, we're going to summarize all of it right now. No, not really. I've been trying to follow what seems like a natural flow, a natural train of thought in this, as we're going through different ways. You know, I mean, the Christian life is a growth process. And God reveals to us, you know, as Joe attested to earlier, how God, you know, reveals things in our lives that are lacking. And he says, I really need you to step up. I really need you to pull that together. I need you to draw closer. I really need you to put that discipline into practice. And so today, I'm talking about the discipline of practicing generosity. Now, some of this material is going to be, it's probably going to be review for some of you. Half the time, I don't know how much of this I've shared before and how much I haven't. So it's kind of a hodgepodge of some things that I've shared in the past with some other ideas thrown in. As I've been trying to carry the sermon series in a focused direction. You know, we talked about tithing, we talked about self-control, we've talked about so many aspects of practicing disciplines. And you might not think of the whole concept of generosity as a discipline, but just checking to see if my levels are too... I don't know what this recording sounds like. It's too loud, then it's too soft. Anyway, it doesn't matter. We'll just go. You know, you wouldn't think of generosity as being a discipline, but you can't believe how much it needs to be part of the life of a Christian. It has to be. Or we're not reflecting the character of Christ. Just not. Let's be honest with ourselves. It's going to the issue here again is, as before, lordship. But it's really about who's in control of your time, your money, and your stuff. Who's in control? A lot of times we like to be in control of our time, and we probably guard that more than we do our money. And our stuff, it just kind of depends what stuff it is. But let's be honest with ourselves. Let's go to the next slide. Our tendency in our humanness is simply to be stingy. We're stingy with our time, we're stingy with our money, and we're stingy with our stuff. We have a tendency to hoard. We have a tendency to keep to ourselves. We have a tendency to be protective of what we have or what we perceive of as ours. And as a result, we miss out. We miss out on the opportunity for God to use us to bless others and to be blessed in the process of being a blessing. One example I can think of, and this goes outside of the realm, you know, just our homes. And not to really come down on any of you, I just want to give an example of something. When I was in high school, my youth group, we had a choir. Every year we would put our choir together, we'd hop on a bus, and we'd go away for a week, week and a half, over spring break, and do a little concert tour. And a lot of times we'd come into churches like this. And some years we had 40 to 50 kids. There was one year we had almost 80. We had two tour buses. That's how big my youth choir was. And I'm telling you, that was a ridiculous year. Imagine cramming 80 kids on a stage like this and then have, you know, 40 or 50 of you out there watching. And it was fun. We had fun because we had a live band, you know. We had the band would, like, be behind the choir, and the choir was all up there crammed on the stage singing, you know, and we're doing the thing, and it was fun. And every church that we would go to, we would be billeted out into people's homes. So people in that church would take 4, 5, 6, 10 of us, and we'd sleep in beds and couches and floors and whatever that they had available. Now, one of the things that I learned when I moved here was that whenever I had a special event and I had to try to house 2, 3, or 4 people, trying to find a place for them to stay was like pulling teeth. And I don't know what the difference was between where we traveled and here, but I don't know if it's a lack of hospitality or if we're just afraid to have people in our homes because our house is messy. I don't really know, or we like to sit in our pajamas at night at 8 o'clock and, you know, I can't have somebody in my house. I don't know what it is, but there seems to be a real issue. You know, folks around here are very reticent about having folks in their homes. You know, some of you, you don't have a guest bedroom or you think you have room. And, you know, I understand that. That's fine. But my mindset is there's got to be somebody. You know, I can't always see if, you know, just so-and-so has that free guest room that's always available whenever one or two people are through, you know. And so, you know, the idea of hospitality is part of this sense of being generous. You know, when you go back into ancient cultures, it wasn't uncommon for someone to be hospitable to a stranger or a traveler by offering them the last food they had. You know, so I want you to think about how your life could be different if you practiced the concept of hospitality as it relates to generosity. And sometimes, you know, we would have people that maybe they couldn't have us at the house, you know, and let's go out for dinner, you know, and things like that. I want you to think along a different line, perhaps, than what you've been thinking. Another example might be, at restaurants, tipping at restaurants. You know, I mean, I hate this idea that there's like a mandatory tip amount that used to be 15%. I think it just went up to 18. I don't know who changed that. It wasn't Congress. But a lot of times when you have a group of eight or more, they automatically add the tip. That drives me crazy too. But the truth is, as Christian people, we ought to set a standard for generosity. Even when, I don't know if that waitress did a very good job. There was one preacher that really felt compelled by God to give a huge tip to a woman that had served them, and she had been rude and cranky, and he wanted to leave and leave no tip, and he felt like God spoke to his heart and says, I want you to leave that $50 bill in your wallet on the table. And he's like, and he had to wrestle with God over that $50 bill. There's no way I'm giving that, you know. But, you know, he said, God's like, do this for me. And he did it. And as he's going to the car, this lady runs out in tears, waving the $50 bill at him and said, there must be some mistake. And he says, no, I really felt like God wanted me to give that to you. And she broke down before him and began to tell him the things that she had been going through and the financial struggles and the problems in her marriage and the problems with the kids and how that, you know, all of that stuff with life was just reflecting on her attitude at work. And it would have been very easy for him to walk away and say, you don't deserve a tip. But listening to God who says, I need you to be generous to that lady. So if you go away from this and you think I'm telling you to just throw your money around and your stuff around, that's not what I'm saying. I want you to be sensitive to the leading of the Holy Spirit, and I want you to have a different kind of mindset about your resources. You know, and say every morning, God, my resources are your resources. And I want to use your resources in a way that are going to affect and change lives. And I want to be sensitive to your leading. I want to be sensitive to what the Holy Spirit wants me to do with my stuff, with my time, with my money. How can I use what I have to further the kingdom of God? That's the question. That's the thing. That's what I want you to have in your mind this week as you go about your business. So then why is generosity so important? Well, we kind of summarized it, but let's look at some specifics. One reason that generosity is so important to us as Christians is God wants us to be like him, and he's generous. God wants us to be like him, and he is generous. Titus 3, 5 and 6 says, he saved us through the washing of rebirth and renewal by the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us generously through Jesus Christ our Savior. Not sparingly. You know, when God does something, he's like, I'm pouring all of it out on you. Here it is. Bam. Here's the whole load. Just, here's all of it. Or in the case of James 1:5, if any of you lacks wisdom, he should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to him. That's better than if any of you lacks wisdom, he should ask God, who sometimes gives when he doesn't find fault. And yeah, the idea being God says, you want wisdom? Ask. It's yours. Psalm 37:21. The wicked borrow and do not repay, but the righteous give generously. You know, there is a fine line between wickedness and righteousness. I mean, we have these categories delineated in our mind. There's a fine line between being a generous person and being the person that borrows money from a friend and hopes that the friend won't ask for it back, instead of being the person that lends or the person that gives. It's amazing how it can seem so far apart, but often it's so close. Some of the most generous people I know are people that don't have very much. But there's a sense of generosity, a sense of go ahead and keep that. You can have that. Well, sure, no, I got another one of those. You can just have it. The wicked borrow and do not repay, but the righteous give generously. And so I want you to equate that. There's a sense of generosity that goes with being right with God, being right before God, because we know who supplies us with what it is that we need. Number two, another reason that generosity is important, an attitude of generosity acknowledges that God is the source of our supply. An attitude of generosity acknowledges that God is the source of our supply. See, it's easy to want to hoard when you're thinking to yourself, well, I earned this. This is mine. Mine, mine, mine. There used to be a show on, I think it was on Nick Jr., called Lazy Town. And one of the characters in Lazy Town was a kid named Stingy. And that was his whole mindset. Mine, 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 mine. You guys ever see it with your kids? Lazy Town? Lazy, I get lazy. Okay, that's fine. I'm done. Lazy, I get lazy. Okay, we're done. Okay. That's all you're getting. An attitude of generosity acknowledges that God is the source of our supply. And when you know that God is the one that has supplied what you have, the one who has supplied your needs, it really is less about it being mine as much as how can I use that now to further the kingdom of God? How much can I use what God has entrusted me with to draw other people to Christ? I love this verse in 1 Chronicles 29, 9 and verse 14. I'm just trying to kind of get to the core of the issue here. So the verse 9 says, "The people rejoiced at the willing response of their leaders, for they had given freely and wholeheartedly to the Lord. David the king also rejoiced greatly, but who am I and who are my people that we should be able to give as generously as this? Everything comes from you, and we have given you only what comes from your hand." I like the attitude. The people rejoice because of the example that their leaders provided for them. Often we don't find ourselves in a place where our leadership provides us the right example. But in this case, the Jewish people, the Israelites, rejoiced because their leaders were a good example. And then David rejoiced because his mindset was, who am I that I get to do this? Who am I that I have the ability, the capacity, the privilege of giving as generously as this? It's like God has given me so much that I can give so much of it back. Our tendency in our humanness is not to fall into that kind of mindset, is it? Our tendency, if we allow the enemy to get a grip, is to think, well, I have extra now, but I better hang on to that because it's probably going to get tight later. Second Chronicles 31:5, a little bit later, as soon as the order went out, the Israelites generously gave the first fruits of their grain, their new wine, oil and honey, and all that the fields produced. They brought a great amount, a tithe of everything. Now, this message is not really about tithing today. I mean, we did our message on tithing a way back. This is more about the attitude of our stuff and what we have and the resources that we have and what does God want us to do with it and how does God want us to use what we have. I was blessed for a long time. There was a young fellow that worked at my home church that he was willing to give anybody pretty much a ride anywhere if they asked him. And one day I said to him, I said, "Mike, why are you so willing to do this?" He says, "When I was a kid," he said, "there was a pastor at the church that every week picked me up. You know, I went to that church. I gave my heart to Christ. I received a call to ministry. I became a pastor, and I vowed that if there was anybody anywhere that needed a ride to anything that was related to this church, I would just go get them because somebody did that for me." Wow. I was like, a lot of us are too busy for that kind of thing. But it was his way of paying back the person that impacted his life so strongly. A third reason that generosity is so vital is that God wants to meet needs in our world through our generous giving. There are needs in our world that need to be met. Today, Michelle reminded us this morning, and I forgot to mention that, Michelle, but today is a prayer for the persecuted church Sunday, right? This is a day that's been set aside to pray specifically for the persecuted church. There are people all over the world that have to worship in secret. people that are being thrown in prison, people that are sent to jail for their beliefs, people that are trying to worship God, and there are countries even yet in which people are being bullied and thrown into prison and killed for their faith, and yet the church continues to grow. And some of those people are some of the most generous people that you're ever going to meet. They would literally give you the coat off their back if they thought you needed it. And they had, and their mindset would be, it's a privilege to give you my coat, even if I have to go without, because you need it and God gave that coat to me. It's pretty powerful stuff when you think about the entitlement that our culture seems to offer us. Well, I deserve this, I deserve that. I'm going to read through this passage quickly. 2 Corinthians 9, 6 through 15. Remember this. Whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. Whoever sows generously will also reap generously. Each man should give what he has decided in his heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion. You say, I'm not here to try to cause you to feel through some form of compulsion or through some form of rhetoric that you need to give. This is not what I want to do. For God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. As it is written, he scattered abroad his gifts to the poor, his righteousness endures forever. Now he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will also supply and increase your store of seed and will enlarge the harvest of your righteousness. You will be made rich in every way so that you can be generous on every occasion. And through us, your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God. See, that's the ultimate result. The idea being, I want to be generous, not so I get credit. I want to be generous, not to give a 5-foot-long check so I can get a photo op in the newspaper. I want to be generous so that it draws people to God. This service that you perform, verse 12, is not only supplying the needs of God's people, but is also overflowing in many expressions of thanks to God. Because of the service by which you have proved yourselves, men will praise God for the obedience that accompanies your confession of the gospel of Christ, and for your generosity in sharing with them and with everyone else. And in their prayers for you, their hearts will go out to you because of the surpassing grace God has given you. Thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. Do you see that in verse 13? Because of the service by which you have proved yourselves, men will praise God for the obedience that accompanies your confession of the gospel of Christ. In other words, they will praise God because you put your money where your mouth is. They will praise God because you live out what you say you believe. Which is a little bit about what we talked about last week when it came to practicing our faith and why this concept of putting generosity into practice as a discipline is an extension of that. Number four, why is generosity so important? Generosity flows from thankfulness and leads to thankfulness. You might circle from and to, because it's kind of a chicken and the egg thing. Generosity flows from thankfulness. It also leads to thankfulness. There are times where you don't feel very thankful, but you choose to be generous, and it's amazing how that changes your heart and changes your mind. What you're going for is a positive upward spiral instead of the downward toilet spiral that most of us find our lives in. The upward spiral. You choose to be generous, and all of a sudden, you're a little more thankful than you were just a bit ago. No more bah humbug. Perhaps we don't always feel like doing it. It's a good thing that our relationship with Christ isn't based on feeling. It's a good thing our marriages aren't based on feeling. You know, it's a good thing that the fact that we're brothers and sisters and mothers and daughters and fathers and sons aren't based on feeling. We are what we are. Perhaps we don't always feel like doing it, but we make ourselves give cheerfully to nurture a thankful heart. And this really comes down to you trying to be sensitive to the leading of God and saying, God, how can I use what you've entrusted me with to bless others and to draw people to Christ? That's what it's all about. That is what it's all about. And so in conclusion, we need to stop coming up with reasons or excuses. I put reasons in there. It actually should be the word excuses, because a reason sounds better than an excuse. So you know what? Don't write the word reason in there. Write the word excuse. We need to stop coming up with excuses not to be generous and instead model Christ's character. Christ was one who freely gave everything, from his resources to his very life. This is something that really, you know, God's going to have to get a hold of your heart about. He's going to have to really instill this in you. When you get to a point where you realize, you know what, God has supplied my needs according to his riches and glory through Christ Jesus. God has given me what I have. The reality is I want to use what I have, my talents, my abilities, my time, my resources, my money, the stuff that I have. And some of the things that you have, you know, God may be calling you to use in ways, creative ways that you never really thought of. Ways to be generous that you never really thought of before when it comes to leading people to Christ. So that people, when they see that, when they see what you've done, it doesn't lift you up, it doesn't exalt you, it doesn't glorify you. They praise God because of what you've done, because they see that you live what you say that you believe. Let's stand together and pray, and then we'll meet upstairs for some dinner. Father, thank you for a great day today. And God, I pray for those here today. I know, Father, that there are many in this room that are in all kinds of different states financially. Some struggling with work, some struggling with trying to pay bills, some that have bills coming from places they don't even know, God. And I know that the whole idea of just being generous on that scope, sometimes it can overwhelm us because we can feel like we're so behind and we can feel like we're so consumed with what it is that you so consumed with just falling behind on what it is that our obligations are. And the fact is, God, that you want to supply our needs. You want to take care of us. You want us to come to a place where we can trust you, Father. And so today I just want to rebuke the work of the enemy in the lives of people here, God, as they dedicate themselves to you, as they dedicate their resources to you, that, God, you will give them opportunities to show by their actions, God, their faith and their trust in you. And so that everything that we say, everything that we do, everything that we offer, God, ends up being a gift to you for the purpose of drawing people to you. So we thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen. There was a quote in the bulletin today that says, don't say that you want to give, just go ahead and give. You'll never catch up with mere hope. So look at the person next to you and say, just do it. All right, God bless. Have a great week. We'll see you later.